Have you ever wondered what it's like to work with a coach for a year? This episode is a little different. This episode is actually a replay of a conversation between my client, Jessie Ellertson, and me, where I was a guest on her podcast, the Simply Resilient Podcast. You see, Jessie is a life coach herself for military spouses, and she has been my client for about a year. In this episode, we talk about the top 12 lessons learned she's had as takeaways during our work together, one lesson for each month of our work together. We talk about everything from how to view invisible progress to handling vacations and holidays to addressing even deeper beliefs about identity and how we want to show up for ourselves in this life. It was so much fun to recap a year worth of coaching with Jessie, and I'm so glad that I get to share it with you. We've got a year's worth of wisdom packed into one episode, and the journey is just getting started. So, are you ready for the rocket ride? Oh yeah, let's go.
Do you ever feel like you know all the diet rules about eat this, but not that, and so you know what to do, but you just have a hard time actually doing it? I'm here to tell you, you are not the problem. Hi, I'm Lizzie. Welcome to the Confident Body Podcast, where we talk about all the mental and emotional parts of weight loss that diets don't tell you. It's time to step past the shame and the guilt from old diets and stop feeling like you're waiting to lose weight in order to fully participate in life. If you're ready to drop the diet mindset and learn what it takes to truly feel happy and confident in your own skin, you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Okay, everyone, as most of you know, I have been working with my own life coach this past year, and I am thrilled to have her on my podcast with me today as we celebrate a full year of working together, 12 months of meeting weekly and analyzing what's going on in Jessie's brain, which has been amazing and a little scary at times and very, very fascinating. That's probably the top word. Anyway, Lizzie, welcome onto my podcast as we go over all the amazing things we've learned this year.
Thank you, Jessie. I am so honored and thrilled to be here, to be back. And it has absolutely been a joy and a journey for me as we have been working together for the last 12 months. I can't believe it's gone fast. And also so much ground we have covered. And I am really looking forward to us just kind of recapping it together on this episode today.
Yeah, me too. This sounds a little cliche, but I really do feel like a different person today than I was a year ago. And I really am. I really am. Yeah. I'm functioning from a totally different upgraded brain space. I don't know the best way to say that. Most of you know Lizzie was on my podcast about a year ago. I guess we'd been working together for a little bit when I had you on, I think. And she is a life coach. And in that episode, we learned that Lizzie was also a military wife. And that's one way that we got connected. And it's so fun to work with someone who knows what that is like. And Lizzie, will you tell us just a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So yes, I am a military wife. My husband is now retired, but he was a helicopter pilot, which is so crazy because so is yours. So we had that in common. I'm a mom of two kids and two dogs and two cats. So happy chaos. I am also a certified life coach and a weight loss coach. I work for No BS Weight Loss. And I also have written a book called You Are a Miracle. And I have my own podcast called The Confident Body Podcast.
Everything Lizzie has to offer is amazing. And if you haven't already checked her out, you must do so right now, especially after you hear all this good stuff. So we have gone over our old Marco Polos and old texts and emails and just gleaned all the best stuff from this last year of ahas and just pivotal lessons and moments and powerful thoughts. And we've condensed it down into 12, which it was hard to get it down to 12, but we decided these didn't happen like once a month, but one for every month we've been working together. And so we are going to go ahead and start sharing these with you. I want to note that they are in no particular order. We're not like counting down to the best one. We're just going to share 1 through 12 of just 12 awesome things that we have enjoyed, that Lizzie has helped me figure out and I have enjoyed implementing into my life. And I know that what we've been working on has also helped her in her own life and in her practice. As that's one of the other beautiful things about coaching in general is, even as a coach, you learn so much and you know, implement some of those ahas yourself.
So true. Yeah. Okay.
Let's kick it off with number one.
Yeah.
You want to start there?
Yeah. As I recall, we had not even started working yet together. It was kind of like our introductory call and get to know you and get to know each other. What would it be like to work together? And we just got started talking and I asked, what's one of the challenges that comes up for you? And it was around like letting food go to waste. I remember it was like leftovers.
One of my favorite stories that I still struggle with a little bit, but I had like a vice grip on this story a year ago.
Yeah, well, like what was your story and how did it change?
Yeah, so I will say, so I was interviewing a few different coaches at the time, trying to figure out which one would be the best fit. And I think that's important for people to know because you do want to find a coach that's a good fit for you. And so Lizzie and I were having this mini session, and I started to share with her one of the struggles that was really evident to me of that I would eat food that I either didn't even want to eat, was off plan, didn't taste good, or more than what felt good, like just even in that one sitting, because I have a real struggle. And I want to say had. It is a lot more had, but it's not just like totally in my past. But I used to struggle with this a lot more of just not wanting to throw away food, not wanting to waste food. And I felt very justified in my story because the phrase, like Lizzie totally caught me on this because it just felt so normal to me. But I said to her the words something like, I am a steward over my resources and food is one of my resources. Like I'm responsible for this being a resource in my family and in my home and in our the money we've spent in our food budget on that food. And so I just felt this very like justified, dignified justification to eat food that that didn't meet all those things. I'd eat past full, I'd eat off plan, I'd eat food that I didn't even like, didn't even taste that good because it was like my responsibility not to waste that food. Yeah, and then Lizzie just said, let me just offer you just one thing that, let's just look at this really quick because it just felt true to me.
Yeah, and I think like with so many of our habits that we want to change, and I say that purposefully because a lot of times we can look at them as like quote unquote bad habits and that's labeling them. So instead of that, we'll say a habit that we want to change. Most of those habits come from a place, a positive desire. And so that one, you were coming from a place of a positive desire of like, my husband brings in the income, and it's kind of my responsibility to take care of that and to be the steward over our resources and our family. And the thought I offered you was just to look at it as like, well, there's lots of different resources. Money is one, food is one, but you are one. And how could you look at yourself as, taking care of yourself as being a good steward of you? And how would food play into that? And when I said that, kind of how did that shift your mindset?
Oh, it's a perfect example of how we're not always ready to receive a new thought, but in certain moments, you'll just hear that one sentence and it'll change the way you think about it forever. And I think that you said, like, you just pointed out, I'd like to point out that you're also a steward over the resource of your body. My body is one of my resources. And over this year, we've been working on me getting reconnected to my body as a partner and all of that. And I think that I was just so dis like, not so disconnected, but I was at a place in my relationship with myself and my body where she was like the lowest on the list. Like, why would I make that a priority? And I was like, oh my goodness, you are absolutely right. Like, that's one of my greatest resources, like an irreplaceable, valuable, such an incredible resource, which is my body and my physical health and the way I use that. And I'd been so focused on what can I think about food so it doesn't feel like waste. And I forgot to just back it up even further to say, like, if I prioritize taking care of my body, it makes this decision so much easier. And then there's obviously lots of other thoughts you can think about wasting food that we won't even get into here. But another one you offered me was like, it's waste either way. And I know we talked about that day. And that one really stuck with me because it's wasting my body's resources. It kind of brought it back into that. By eating it when I don't want to or shouldn't or it's not on plan or all the things, it's a waste of my body's resources to do that.
Yeah, and I think,
Waste either way.
a thought around that stuck with me when I really first heard it for the first time was like, if you're thinking of your body as a resource, as something that you want to take care of, and then you're looking at a food item in the refrigerator and you're like, well, it's going to go bad tomorrow. So I either eat it today or I throw it in the trash. And you just pause for a second and you're like, my options are I put it in the trash can or I put it in my body. It's like, wait a second, my body is much more valuable than the trash can. So.
Treat your body like a trash can.
Yeah. And so I that one, thinking of like my body being more valuable than the trash can, that's what it really like shook my world when I first heard it. And so, yeah.
And I think that that is the concept of waste is a big area people struggle in. And I think one reason we talked about this one right out the gate was because a lot of the reasons that I was using, food for all the reasons I was using food and the reason I was weighing what I was weighing weren't super clear to me. But that was one that I could see really easily. And so that was where we started. I mean, that was just one that I was ready to take a look at right away. And then it took some time to kind of pull some layers back and find some of the other ways that, way things to look at and ways that I was using food and my health and not prioritizing things and all that. And we're going to get into that, but this was just a great place to start.
Yeah. And speaking of like kind of pulling back the layers and so forth, sometimes it takes a while. Like sometimes you're not ready to go fast. And one of the things that we've talked about more recently, but it really is so pivotal to, you know, the work that we've done together is just the concept of moving at the speed of safety.
This is our number two, you guys. It's so good.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Okay. So this is one that Lizzie introduced to me pretty recently. And where did you hear it? I'm trying to remember.
From the Kathy Heller podcast.
Mm, yep. Okay. Yeah. This has been a game changer for both of us. You can apply this in any area of your life, but we've been applying it to our coaching and to specifically weight loss and other areas. But it's to make peace and to accept that we're only like to make peace with the pace that you're going, because we all know that we are so often in a hurry to change, to change something, to improve something, to feel better. I want to feel better right now. How can I change and feel better right now? And instead to accept the pace that your brain and your body are ready to move at. And we call that like moving at the speed of safety. So it doesn't, like, if you're going to make changes that are actually going to stick, you need to move at the pace that feels safe to your body and to your brain. And what's exciting about that is, first of all, you're being very kind to yourself instead of trying to like muscle through at a speed that doesn't feel safe. But things that didn't feel safe, this was when Lizzie first taught this to me, I really was able to see that things that didn't feel safe, maybe to talk about or look at 6 months ago, or to try, like to experiment with, now did feel safe because of the progress I had made and the distance I had come. And so when we pay attention to that, when we pay attention to what is safe, what feels safe to us, and when we honor that, then, and we don't have to worry that we'll never make progress, because as you make progress, new things feel safe. That was what was really powerful for me to learn. And the biggest lesson that the way I applied this near the beginning, which we hadn't talked about the speed of safety at the beginning, but just this concept of when we first started working together and I was so sad about how much I weighed. I really felt a lot of things about it. And I had to go so slow at the beginning as I worked on just repairing some of that sadness and giving air to things and being willing to take a look at things. But I just had a very slow pace at first. And at first I wanted to feel better. And I thought the way that was going to happen was if I would just lose some weight, then I could feel better. Right. And it wasn't until I slowed that down and say, I'm going to work on feeling better first. And then the weight loss will come way more easily, way more sustainably. And just getting those two switched is really powerful. And so when you're willing to move at the speed of safety, you're still going to feel better and you're still going to lose weight, but we just don't try to shove the weight loss part first in order to feel better. We make space to feel better and then lose weight. And so all of that is really life-changing to me.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that when I first heard that comment of, you know, we move at the speed of safety, and it really just hit me like a bell, was because I'm a science nerd. And so I really am interested in how the brain works. And we've got our thinking brain, which is the part of the brain that's like, I want to go on a diet and I want to lose 10 pounds this week, which of course is a little crazy, but, and then there's our survival brain that does not care about what size jeans we wear. It does not care about our fulfillment and happiness. It cares about keeping us safe. And it thinks that change is the worst.
Dangerous.
Yeah. And so if that's why diets often fail, because you're making a whole lot of changes all at once. And so you can willpower your way through that for a while, but your survival brain is literally actively trying to get things back to the way they used to be, because that feels safe. Yeah. And so when you move slower, then you can allow your survival brain to kind of dip its pinky toe in the water of change and be like, I don't love this, but I'm not freaking out. Yeah. And so you can kind of allow your survival brain to kind of adapt and get acclimated to the changes you're making slowly. One other thought I wanted to say, you mentioned that like things that you felt afraid to look at 6 months ago that now you're feeling more open to. I wanted to point out that that wasn't because you felt safe with me. That was because of the work you've done and you were feeling safe with yourself. Like that was all about you and the work you've done.
It's so true. I mean, I agree with you, because What you really helped me do is that when you don't feel safe, you actually do an interesting thing of nothing feels safe, so you don't want to try anything. And then in the same moment, I would tell Lizzie in our sessions, I'd be like, I should change everything right now. So I just went to like, nothing feels safe. I don't want to change anything. And then within the same session, I'd be like, well, maybe we should try this. And it would be like a suggestion that was become a totally different person, basically. So I was like working in those two extremes, and she did such a good job of, you know, let's slow that down. Let's take it one like doable step at a time, one, you know, bite-sized piece. And then she also really helped me just pay attention all week long in between our sessions to like what resistance would come up, so that we could really watch if I was moving past that speed of safety. If I, you know, she helped me stay in that very like experimental brain of let's try this, let's see how it goes, let's see what your brain does, let's, you know, pay attention, let me know what you find out, you know, just very, that was everything to have that support as I went through that process. And at the beginning, like I said, you know, we really had to do tiny baby steps, and I had to just make peace with that and really accept that and even celebrate that progress. And then what's amazing is, you know, every few months we'll kind of look back and we'll say, do you remember what didn't feel safe to her then? And like, now we're just doing that and it's easy, you know, like just to see. Anyway, we're gonna talk about that later, but I made peace with myself and I found that safety within myself. And I had like all of that weekly support that was, it just would have been really hard to do on my own. But I appreciate what you're saying, because I really did create that relationship and create that safety within myself. But I was really grateful to have like somebody like walking along with me, because it's quite a journey, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, it can be scary to look at those things that you don't feel safe with. And I love that you mentioned resistance, because we're so used to like when we feel resistance, like just muscling right through it. And, you know, like that's what the diet tells me to do.
And ignore it. I think that's was my biggest go-to, was to ignore protests, ignore resistance, and then just like cross my fingers.
And what I like to think about is like all of our feelings, but resistance as well, is it's a benevolent messenger. It has a message to tell us. And if you can kind of, instead of pushing against it, just sort of turn towards it and just be like curious and be like, hey, you know, what, that's interesting. What am I feeling resistance around? It's almost like this sort of tender spot around an injury. Like, okay, what's going on here? Where does it hurt?
What's the message? Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. And then the phrase we would come up with that goes along with this number two is that I was always, my goal of all this is I'm making changes I can live with. That was kind of my mantra and my motto. And I would make sure if we were ever trying something new, or even just making an adjustment, I would kind of run it through that mantra of like, is this a change, or is this like a lifestyle that I can do forever, that I can just live with? And that's a really powerful like filter to put this weight loss journey through, because it keeps you on that speed of safety.
Yeah. I like asking, can you see yourself still doing this 5 years from now?
Yeah. And if the answer is no, then we didn't do it and we would try something else.
And that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's great.
But when you're going slow at the speed of safety,
yes,
sometimes that can get frustrating.
Yes. Let's talk about that. So our number three, this is one that I've been using right from the start too, and it has been very helpful. And it is the concept of the pinata. Will you please tell us about the pinata, Lizzie?
Sure. So we had been working together for like maybe 6 weeks, and maybe it was a little more, but you know, you had been making some progress, but not as much as you wanted. And you sent me a polo just being like, I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling a little bit low because the scale's not moving and I wanted to. So I sent you a Marco back being like, okay, I want you to think about a pinata. So like the birthday boy that has the pinata, and like he gets the bat and he whacks it and nothing happens. So the next kid comes up whacking the pinata and all the kids are so excited. But you know, after everybody goes through the line, the pinata is still not broken. And you know, they begin to lose interest. And then lo and behold, the birthday boy's little kid sister comes along and, you know, wobbles towards the pinata and she gives it this little tap and suddenly it, you know, bursts open.
Yeah.
And so were all of those hits and whacks before, were they worthless? Were they useless?
Who broke the pinata?
Pardon?
Like who broke the pinata? Because it wasn't her.
Right.
Only.
Yes. And you know, it's sort of also like if you think about planting a seed, you know, you plant a seed in the soil and you don't see anything for potentially weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you dig up the seed being like, is it happening? Is it sprouting? Like you're gonna wreck your progress.
Yeah.
And so you have to remember that progress is happening all the time. It's just sometimes you don't, it's not in the visible, tangible ways. And so you gave yourself kind of a mantra about in the morning.
Yes.
What would you tell yourself?
Yeah, this has done a couple of really powerful things for me. So there's been times during this year that I've had really visible progress, and that's always very exciting. You don't want to like learn to rely on that too heavily because of the times when there's less visible progress. So the thing I try to say to myself every morning, especially if I'm in a stretch of less visible progress, is I just say, okay, I wake up each morning and it's time to hit the pinata. And that represents for me doing my plan, time to do my plan, because my plan is working and my plan is creating results and progress, even if I can't always see it. And so that's been really helpful for me, is to say like, my job today is to hit the pinata. And I know it's working like that. I needed that response to my brain when my brain's like, maybe this isn't even working. Maybe we shouldn't even do it anymore. Maybe we should try something else. And instead I just say, no, this isn't the plan and the plan's working, and I time to go hit the pinata. And then the other thing that it really helps me with is in that pinata visual, as the other kids are hitting it, or as I'm hitting it each day, right? You can see the things start to deteriorate a little bit, even if you don't see candy yet, right? Like candy might be like the numbers going down on the scale or whatever big result you're seeking for. But you can see the deterioration of the pinata if you look for it. If you, you know, slow down and walk up close to it, no one's going to like hit it, right? You're just looking like, oh, I can see like it's starting a little tear here. And so it also helps me say, like, helps me seek for and focus on the less visible progress, because it's there. Like, absolutely. The numbers going down on the scale is the most visible thing, maybe the candy, right? But there is so much else going on with, you know, the way my clothes fit, the way I feel, the way I'm feeling when I'm being like, when I'm exercising, the way my relationship with food, my relationship with my body, my brain, like there's so many things to be watching and paying attention to of seeing that progression. And only one thing is the numbers on the scale. And I want to pay attention to all of it and like celebrate all of it. And anyway, that was really exciting to me and has helped a lot over this year.
I think one of the things that has really stood out to me in terms of your examples of invisible progress is your change in your thinking, and just like the lightening of the mental load that you were carrying around yourself, around food. And like, you just, when we, a lot of times you said before, like, we look back like 6 months ago, how would you have thought about this thing? And you'd be like, oh my God, it would have been so much harder. Right now is like, I just get up and I do it. It's just who I am now.
Yeah.
And just your mental progress, you know, literally is invisible,
huge.
But it's also been so dramatic in the way your thoughts have changed.
Absolutely. And an example that I wanted to share in this category that I just noticed like 2 days ago, I try to walk on the treadmill every day. And when I started this back at the beginning of working together, like I would walk on the treadmill randomly before I started working with Lizzie, but then I set a goal to walk on the treadmill about 5 times a week, and I shoot for 30 minutes, but I'm open to like in really anything. As long as I get on the treadmill, I count it basically. But I noticed just 2 days ago, how good it feels. That's something I've noticed over the last little while, just how good it's feeling and how easy it is to get on the treadmill and do 30 minutes, where it used to have to be, you know, kind of a battle. But the real like progress marker that I noticed, it's pretty low visibility, but it's very evident now that I see it, was, you know, a year ago or 8 months ago or whatever, as I would get on the treadmill and put the pace up to, you know, 2.5 or whatever, just to kind of get my heart rate going. And it's still just a walk, but it feels really good. I would, for most of the walk, however many minutes it was, I would have my hands on the bars, the handlebars or whatever, what are those called? Handlebars? That doesn't seem right. Okay, the handholds, whatever. For most of my walk, for a few different things, for stability and for support, because it did make walking at a pace where my heart rate raises a little bit easier. And these days, I don't touch the handrails at all. I can easily walk at an even faster pace, like 2.8 or 3 on my treadmill. I don't know if that's the same on all treadmills. I don't even know what that number represents, but I compare to myself, right? I'm comparing not to other people, but to myself. I used to be like 2.5 was a struggle, and now like 2.83 feels so good. My heart feels good, and I don't have to hold the handles at all. And that was a big celebration for me the other day when I figured that out.
Yay.
It's all good. So good. Okay. I think that brings us to number 4. Will you introduce this one, Lizzie?
Yes. This is one of my favorite concepts, particularly in weight loss, but really in anything, is was just to treat everything like an experiment. And this is so near and dear to my heart because, particularly in weight loss, it's so challenging sometimes because of what we make it mean about us. It's very, very personal, and so failure is very personal. And so, if you can depersonalize your efforts and the things that you try related to weight loss, and just treat it like an experiment, that makes it feel a lot lighter. And I used to teach middle school science, and so again, I'm a science nerd, but it's easier to think of like, I'm just collecting data. Like, there's no way to mess this up. If this works, cool, great, we'll keep it. If it doesn't work, that's also really great information. We can adjust, we can tweak it, figure out what does work. Everything is helping you get closer to a process that will work for you. And so even a quote unquote failed experiment is still a wonderful thing because it's helping you make progress.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, I just want to say, this is exactly why coaches need coaches, because Lizzie and I both love this concept so much. We geek out about it when we're like both in our coach brains. And you guys know, I just recorded a podcast episode on this, a few weeks ago, science experiment. It's just such a cool concept of getting into that experiment place in your brain and that mindset of, all of this is helpful. All of this is good information. All of this is progress. We're experimenting, like just being in that, it's like a play space, right? Like you're just the stakes aren't so high. It feels so good to be in that space. And yet in my own work, in my own coaching, I need reminders of this all the time. So I'm going to give an example. At one point, pretty early on in working together, we were talking about the concept of meal prepping. And that was something that I was open to and that I'd tried a little bit, but didn't have a lot of experience with. But I knew that it would be really helpful in my journey. And Lizzie's a huge fan of meal prepping. And my brain offered me that all or nothing again of like, I don't want to start meal prepping because I'm not ready to like meal prep every single meal I consume. And Lizzie's like, okay, let's slow that down. Like it was so all or nothing of like, so I'm not going to meal prep at all because I'm not ready to do it perfectly and do it all. Like I was just worried. I was worried about wasting food. I was worried about having enough time to do it. I was just worried about all these things. And so I wasn't doing it at all. And that's where Lizzie stepped in. So tell me how you helped me in that moment, Lizzie.
Well, I definitely, all or nothing is a really prevalent, pervasive thought that, so many of us have because of the diet industry, and it's not our fault that we have that kind of thinking. But when I noticed you're like, well, I don't want to do it because I don't feel like I'm ready to do it all, I was like, well, what if we just do an experiment? Like, what if you just picked one meal in the whole week to just meal prep? And it was almost funny, like when I suggested it, you were like, you can do that.
No, because I'm not in my coach brain when I'm working with Lizzie, which is a good thing. I'm in my Jessie brain, and I need someone to give me permission to just experiment with things and remind me how powerful it is to say, like, let's just try, let's just see. Let's be willing to not be perfect at it. Let's be willing for it to go well. Let's be willing for it to go poorly. Let's learn from all of that and then try again. Like I just, when I feel so, when things, I'm trying to find that speed of safety and I'm feeling nervous. I need someone to be like, we can do this. We don't have to go full throttle. Let's just try one, go prep one meal, pack it into five little containers, and let's just see what happens. It was very, I always come along pretty quickly once you remind me that I don't have to be at the whim of all of that. And then I'm like, oh yeah, thank you, Lizzie. Remind me, keep me on track. Like that's so good.
I mean, and to be clear, like, I need to do this with myself as well. Like, I have a survival brain as well, and I have my things that my brain does not want to let go of, and that I need to treat it really lightly. Like, what if we just try something? What if we had a little bit less of this thing, and just do an experiment? And my survival brain wants to be like, no, it's a terrible
None
idea.
of that's happening.
Yeah. And so if you can just be like, let's just see, then it lightens things up a little bit.
Oh,
Do you want to tell us about, like, when we talked about your journey being more like an acorn and not fragile?
yes. So what really has helped me in this experimental mindset is when I was all or nothing and scared and afraid, it felt like my weight loss journey and even like just the progress I'd made so far was fragile. And that's you'll kind of know you're in that place if the stakes feel really high and if it feels like there's a lot of pressure, those kind of things. And so one thing we had to work on a lot, and I had to be reassuring myself of a lot, was that like I was in charge of everything. I was making every choice, and that nothing was ever going to just like happen to me. I was just worried that if I, like tried something and it didn't work, that I would unravel everything. Like it all just felt very fragile, and I had to reassure myself a lot that my journey and my progress, even though I'm kind of at the beginning of my journey, maybe, 10 months ago or something, it was young and new, but not necessarily fragile. It was resilient, like an acorn was kind of the analogy that we came up with. So even though it was like a baby tree or like a future tree or whatever, nothing was going to make the acorn just like disappear. The acorn could handle like experiments and trying things, and it could handle things working and things not working, and it could handle trying again and all those things. And so that's been really powerful to spend that time in that space of it's safe. It's safe for me to try this. It's safe for it to work. It's safe for it to not work. My progress is not fragile, it's just young. So the
Yeah.
acorn was really helpful on that one.
Yeah, I love the metaphor of the acorn because it's a very small thing, but within this small thing is the promise, is the potential, is the inevitability of a mighty oak.
Yeah,
You just have to
huge potential.
give it time,
Yeah.
and it's not fragile.
No.
Yeah.
And the progress of watching an acorn grow into a tree is very like unmeasurable from day to day.
Right.
But
Yeah.
you know it's always progressing, Very cool,
Yep.
very powerful. Okay, are we ready for number five?
Let's do it.
You go ahead and talk about this one because this is a really powerful tool you've helped me with.
So, I love the sentence. The story I'm telling myself in my head is, and the reason why I heard it from Brené Brown, and basically it just blew my mind the first time I heard it because it made me realize, oh, the way that I see things is a story. It's plausible, but it may not be fact. Like it feels true to me, but there might be other ways to perceive what's going on. And that has just been sort of revolutionary for me in my journey and just looking at like, okay, whatever's going on, it feels really true and potentially painful, but maybe it's just a story I'm telling myself. And so if I can get clear on what the story is, then I can look for what else could be true.
Yeah. It's really powerful to be able to have an effective way to say that to yourself to open you up to the concept of it being a story. And it's even like my current story right now, because our story changes even from day to day sometimes, or different things will impact it. So it's kind of like what I'm cr the current story I'm telling myself, the version of this story that I'm telling myself right now, because then that really opens you up to number one, it is just my current opinion. It's my story. It's my version of what's going on right now. And then number two, like stories change. I can adjust this story any way I want to. If I don't like how I'm feeling and I don't like the results that I'm getting from my current story, it just keeps it very like pliable, flexible. I love that. And then one way I've talked about this on the podcast, another way I like to illustrate this a little bit is the good news, bad news concept. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it. But basically, the same piece of information can sound like bad news to your lower brain and good news to your higher brain. And so the example that I have of this was the original, like an original story that I would tell Lizzie a lot, and it felt so true to me, felt so true. And she would help me kind of poke at it, but my brain finally worked through this story to realize like it was only a story and I could create a new version. But basically, I would talk to Lizzie about how I didn't feel like I should weigh as much as I weighed at the time we started working together because I didn't feel like my habits equaled a person who was that overweight. I felt like I had pretty okay habits, actually. And even some of the really obvious, quote unquote, bad habits, and really all that means is just habits that lead to maybe results I wasn't seeking for, weren't something I dealt with. Like, for example, I don't drink soda and I don't eat late at night and I don't even really snack. I just had some of these. This was part of my story. Even as I say it right now, I can feel like the power of that story come back into me because I was clinging to this story of like, because I don't have these bad habits and not, why do I weigh this much? And I felt very like victimized by my story and I felt very right about it and very like, it shouldn't be this way. Something's wrong. I'm, not, whatever. And it probably took me a month or 6 weeks or, maybe a little more till one day my brain opened up to the fact that that was just a story and took it so far in that moment. Cause we had been working on it. It wasn't just a sudden switch, but in that moment, my higher brain took a look at that same piece of information of that same story, but kind of the neutralized version of it, of, I don't eat late at night. Isn't that such good news? Like, suddenly that piece of information, instead of feeling like bad news to my lower brain, I could suddenly see it with my higher brain, and how, like, if I want, I can totally flip this story around using that same information and just saying, how awesome that I don't have to break that bad habit of eating late at night. What next? Oh, soda? I don't even drink soda. What good news? Like, what's next? What else could I work on? And by getting out of that victim space of this story and realizing it was just a story and that I could change it any way I want to and look at it with my higher brain and make it be good news and all the things, I then was open to the habits that were creating the weight that I was, because it took me a little while to own, to really own. Like, logically, I understood, but I really needed to own that the decisions that I had been making for the past whatever years have led to the weight I weigh in this moment, right? And that's a critical piece of this journey, is to just own your choices, and not in judgment, not in, just getting to that place of understanding and compassion, but owning my choices and now working on and owning new choices that are going to create a new result for me. And all of that came together to create that for me. But it started with just being open to it being a story and not fact in my life.
I remember you saying it in the phrase of like, I shouldn't weigh this much because of these things. I eat pretty healthy food, I cook at home a lot, and so forth. And the you didn't say this, but kind of an underlying sentence underneath that is almost like, it's not fair. And
Absolutely.
when you can identify, okay, the story I'm telling myself is it's not fair that I weigh this much because my habits seem pretty healthy. Then you can look at that and be like, okay, is it truly not fair? Or like, what if I just pulled the it's not fair out and be like, it is what it is. Where am I arguing with reality? Like, it may not feel fair, but it is what is real. So how can I look at this differently? And then, what really flipped it, just as you said, like when we talked about you do eat pretty healthy food. You do cook at home a lot. And like, what a great thing that you
Amazing.
don't have to break your fast food habit,
Seriously. It was so fun to flip that one on its head. And I will add that you don't have to always make it good news, but let's at least get it to more like a more using this line, this, and getting it to a story place will at least help you get it to be more neutral instead of painful and bad news and discouraging and, a tr like a place you get stuck. This line can at least help you take it to that place.
It is definitely important to acknowledge your feelings. Like, this is not about gaslighting yourself and being like, la, 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 everything is just going to be
No,
positive thoughts. Not at all. Like, it's very
not trying to
important to,
pretend.
acknowledge your feelings. But just, I like to think of this as almost like the optical illusion, like when there's the picture with the black faces on the side and the white in the middle looks like a vase. And like, depending on what you're looking at, you're seeing something different. And that's like, it's still the same picture, but where you focus your attention can adjust your perception of it. That's kind
Absolutely.
of,
Which I feel like leads us to our number six. This is a tool I've been using in my coaching a lot. And it was funny because as we were working together, I don't remember how long, but I remember, like, I hadn't used this tool on myself in a long time. And I was like, Lizzie, hang on. This is
Yeah,
like
you
a
introduced this to
perfect,
me.
yes, this is like a perfect place to apply this thing that I love to teach my clients. And yet I had forgotten to use it on myself. And that is, this is the part of my life, or this is the part of my journey where blank. And basically, as we were talking about in the last takeaway, we're watching for those places where we're resisting reality. And this sentence brings me to that acceptance of reality very quickly. And it's so powerful. And so, like, I can remember near the beginning of working together, a couple of things I would say to myself as I was getting out of that resistance and I was getting away from judgment. Those were some places that I was spending a lot of time in resistance and judgment. And I was trying to get to acceptance, and I was trying to get to compassion and understanding. And so I would say things to myself like, this is the part of my journey where I weigh 240 pounds. This is the part of my weight loss journey where I feel really sad. This is the part of my journey where I'm struggling with judging myself. And it just would help me, like, it feels almost backwards that you would accept, like, right now I'm sad, right now I'm judging myself. But as soon as you do, you are in a 10 times better place to make those adjustments. It's that acceptance and then seek to make a change. It's the feel better now using your thoughts and then work on, adjusting or making changes. And to start with just acceptance of life where it is right now and acceptance of reality. And the other thing that it does for me is it reminds my higher and lower brain that it's okay to accept this because it's temporary, honestly. Like, this is the part, meaning I won't forever feel sad. I won't forever weigh 240 pounds. I just weigh 240 pounds right now, you know, and I don't anymore. This was at the time, but it's just so, oh, it's so powerful. I love this one.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful that you introduced it to me because it made me think of almost like a book, like a story in a book.
Yes.
Like, this is the part of my story or my journey where I'm feeling sad about this, where I'm judging myself for that, where I'm stuck on this thing. But just like you said, like that makes it feel less in it and more temporary. Like there is still another chapter coming and there is the conclusion somewhere down the line. This is just the part of the story where I'm feeling whatever.
So yep, exactly.
Lines it up a bit.
And you're never in a better place to work on it than when you are accepting it and being kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And this sentence really helps me do that. Okay. Number seven. We're doing great. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. Okay. We've got a couple here right in a row that have been game changers lately because I've had an interesting set of circumstances in the last 2-3 months where I've had holidays and getting sick. And then I've had like 3 vacations in a row. I've talked about it a little bit about on my podcast with some of the different places that I've been able to visit that have been so fun. And I loved having Lizzie to work with as I prepared for each trip was the main ones. The reason I mentioned like getting sick and holidays is I feel like just for multiple months, I've had unusual life circumstances that is typically that is a go-to time for me to just be like, well, I definitely can't be working on losing weight right now. I definitely can't be doing my plan. My circumstances are so unique and interesting right now and vacation and holidays, and, you know, and then I just abandon ship. But fortunately, I don't do that anymore because I know how to make changes I can live with and manage my mind and talk to my life coach and make plans even for when the circumstances are different. So as I prepared for each of these trips that I've taken in the last 6 weeks, they've all been different in ways, but this one came up for us. So I was getting ready to take my family on a cruise, my husband and my kids and some friends and their kids. So it was a pretty big group of us. And this brought up a lot of really interesting things for me because I've been on several cruises over my life. And I think like most people, one of the big features of a cruise is the food, right? It's all already paid for. Someone is cooking it for you, bringing it to you. You know, it's just like a week of food. I mean, you're doing a lot of other things too, but food is a big aspect of it. And so I was really trying to figure out where I wanted to be in my brain as I headed onto this cruise. And we were able to break it down to this really cool place because I had a good feeling that my brain would protest to me when I was on the cruise of like wanting to overeat. And I was even tempted to be like, maybe I'll just overeat this week because that's just not something I'd really do anymore. And, you know, Lizzie and I were just talking about it because we talk about, I mean, we don't have to only talk about like behaving perfectly. I talked to Lizzie about, I'm thinking of just letting myself overeat this week. Do you remember when I was saying that, you know?
Yeah, and that's always an option.
Yeah, it's totally an option. But then she was like, hey, totally fine, but let's just look at it for a minute. You know, what is it that you're trying to create for yourself? What do you think overeating will give you? And I came up with all my reasons of like, it's just such a fun way to celebrate. And I talked about, you know, not having to cook, not having to do dishes, not having to plan the meal, not having to make sure my kids are liking the food. And I just really wanted to be at that peak enjoyment of my vacation. And then the word we came up with when we really narrowed it down was that I wanted to feel basically luxurious. I wanted to feel pampered and taken care of. And the first thing my brain offered me was the way we do that is we indulge and we, you know, eat as much as we want of anything we want. And that's how we'll feel luxurious. And then here's what Lizzie helped me figure out. You want to take us to the end on this one?
Yeah. So, that's what's so fun about life coaching and asking like, well, what is it that eating more will help you feel?
Yeah.
Because the reason why we do anything is not to get the thing, it's to feel something. And
absolutely.
So we're just sort of peeling back, what will you feel? And I love the way you were describing it and like the kids are, you know, not having to clean up after anything and just that luxurious. And I was like, amazing. Okay, let's talk about the feeling of luxuriousness. Like you can feel your max level of luxuriousness, whether you eat 4 bites or 50 bites.
Yes.
Like you can luxuriate in the feeling of somebody cooking it for you, of somebody cleaning the plates for you, of like all of that is still there, whether you eat a little or a lot. And then we even extrapolated it to other things that feel luxurious, like a massage.
Yes.
Like for me, a massage is very luxurious, like so awesome. But you want the right amount. Like an hour long massage feels luxurious and amazing. A 4 hour massage, I would be like, could you stop already? I'm getting bruised.
More is not always more.
Right. Or like a pedicure or a manicure, like you don't need 10 layers of nail polish on your nails. Like you want the right amount. Or a haircut. Like I think that's where we ended it, where I was like,
Yeah.
you know, what if the person cutting your hair is like, I'm gonna really give you know, so much cut for
Gonna
your
keep
money.
cutting.
Like, no, stop.
Oh, because that was the other thing is I wanted to make sure I got like all the bang for my buck, right? We've paid for this cruise, and so if I eat more, that helps me get the bang for my buck. But then Lizzie beautifully helped me take it all back to the model, along with everything we just talked about, where she said, if luxuriousness is in the feeling line and eating, 10 pieces of shrimp is in your C line, does eating the shrimp ever lead to you feeling luxurious? I said, no, it's just what I think in that moment. And if I eat two shrimp and I think this is delicious and I didn't even have to make it or clean it up or think about it, and I can feel luxurious. Or if I eat 10 shrimp, I can still think the exact same thought of this is so luxurious and I don't even have to think about it or prepare it or clean it up. And more did not create a more ability for me to think that thought and feel the way I wanted to feel. And that was so powerful for me to take with me on that whole week on the boat. And I absolutely ate what I wanted to and enjoyed myself so much, but I never had to like overindulge. I just created luxuriousness with my mind in a setting where there were a lot of amazing things happening around me and I really enjoyed myself, but I didn't have to overindulge, I think is a good way to put it. And the amazing part of it all is I gained 0 pounds on that cruise. And I ice cream every day. I'm like, I don't want you to think that I don't want these listeners to think that that meant I just like ate salad the whole cruise. I really enjoyed myself. I just had bites of things and I tried this and I created luxuriousness with my mind instead of with my mouth.
Yeah. And you've also gotten
Very
to a place
powerful.
where you actively don't enjoy the feeling of eating too much anymore.
Yes.
Like that is something that has shifted for you over time of like eating too much feels not good.
Well, and it always has felt not good, but I used to ignore the discomfort. And now I'm totally aware of it, and not even from a judgmental place, but just from a place of, oh, yeah, I remember why I don't do this anymore. If I ever do it, because I still every once in a while will overeat. And I just notice it so quickly and easily now and remind myself, oh, yeah, this is why we don't overeat. It doesn't feel good. And it's not leading to my goals and the results that I'm working for.
Yeah.
So good.
Then you went on another trip, which kind of leads us to point number eight. And like when you came back from that trip, and so you had two trips in a row plus the holidays where you really, you know, you went on a time where you in the past would have probably gained weight. You came back not gaining
Absolutely.
any weight, and you were like, Lizzie, what a gift to give myself to not have to like regain the ground that I had already made by, you know, gaining the weight and having to lose it again. Tell us
Yes.
more about that.
Yeah. As I've been practicing, again, noting all the progress, spending lots of time being grateful to myself, being proud of myself, celebrating myself, I've shifted in those ways where I was in a moment of getting back from that second trip. So I had holidays and two trips. And absolutely in my past Jesse brain and life, I would have just abandoned ship and eaten whatever I want as much as I wanted and justified it and totally fine. Nothing wrong with that. But it's not in line with what I'm trying to create for myself now. And I would have definitely gained weight and I would have set myself back if I was trying to lose weight and all of that. And so when I got home from that second trip and I had only gained like 1 pound and I easily just got back right on track and back on my plan. And I was feeling very proud of myself and proud of that skill I've been practicing of living through enjoyable and abnormal circumstances that typically in the past have led to weight gain for me. That thought just came so clearly into my head of like, what a gift you've given yourself. And I love thinking about it that way because, of course, like, high five that I didn't gain weight. Even if I had gained weight, I would just get right back on top of it or whatever. But like, not only did I not gain weight, but I have given myself that gift of practicing that skill, taking good care of myself, and then being able to just move forward with what I'm working on without having to regain that ground or whatever it is. And I just love that I could so quickly and easily see it as a way I've taken care of myself and a gift I've given myself.
Well, I thought you said something interesting a minute ago, like which was in past years during the holidays or vacations, you would have just, and I'm going to really point this out, you would have eaten whatever you wanted and however much you wanted. And
Yes.
what I'd like to offer you is that has not changed.
Yeah.
You still eat whatever you want, and however much you want. It's just that what you want has changed and how much you want has changed.
Lizzie, it's like you're coaching me right now. Mind blown. It's so true. It's so true because, like, I'm trying to make sure the listeners are hearing, I am still really enjoying myself when it comes to food. I just want it differently now, and I'm using it for different things, and I'm aware of myself, and I'm paying attention, and I'm awake, where before I feel like I used to be asleep at times and in areas of my life, and I used to want different things. Like, I want to eat 10 shrimp more than I want to lose weight, basically, or whatever. Not, and the shrimp's just a dumb example, but it's just a way to quantify bites or whatever. But I really felt so completely relaxed and luxurious and fulfilled and enjoy, like I got the bang out of my buck and all the things. I just want different things now. So I met those wants to their fullest because I want things that are more in line with what I'm trying to create for myself. And I'm not just pretending. And that has taken time. That's what's so beautiful about looking over all of this over the last year is it's not like we've been working together for a month and I'm a new person, you know. It's like you can make changes in a month, but it really has taken me a lot of time to make some of these shifts. And it feels so good to see them and celebrate them.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's one of the foundational truths, if you will, of long-term change is the way long-term change happens is when what you genuinely want begins to change.
And it's in line. Yeah. What you want changes and it's in line with what you're trying to create.
Yeah. Cool. But then there was that third trip that was a little different.
Let's talk about that. Okay. So again, three trips in 6 weeks. The first one was a cruise. The second one was an all-inclusive resort, which, so those two were quite similar where it's just like all food available to me at all times. Then I went on, I was a chaperone on my daughter's cheer trip to Disneyland. And that brought up some really interesting things. And I headed into that trip thinking like, I'm so good at going out of town right now and just staying in line with all the things I'm working on. And guess what? This trip, my brain did some really different things. And as I watched my brain do different things, I took a minute to decide, do I need to like regroup my plan? Do I need to like emergency call Lizzie? Or do I just want to be in observation mode this weekend and just learn a lot from what my brain's doing in this new kind of scenario? So basically, I experienced quite a bit of scarcity around like not being in control of what I was eating. Like I didn't have a car. I was just kind of at the whim of whatever the team was doing, or I would just be eating the team meals. You know, it just, I didn't have choices and I didn't have a lot of like flexibility. And anyway, even as I hear myself say it, like I still had choices, but I just, that took me to some scarcity and I decided to just have an observation because it was 4 days, an observation weekend, basically, where I just learned from my brain. And then also it was really interesting to go to Disneyland where my family used to go to Disneyland a lot. And when you're at Disneyland, kind of similar to when you go on cruises, you think, oh, part of the way I enjoy Disneyland is eating all of the amazing food. And my brain pretty quickly shifted back to the way I used to think about that. And again, my new plan was just to observe. So I still ate okay, but not as great as I usually do. And I just watched my brain offer up all its reasons and all its thoughts for, oh, we could pay $20 for a salad or we could pay $20 for a hamburger, definitely a hamburger, like at Disneyland, you know, and just a lot of really interesting things to learn from that trip. And then when I got home, I had gained like 3 or 4 pounds, which was so interesting to gain weight in like 4 days when I didn't even gain weight, you know, whatever. And just Lizzie and I met the very next day. And so we just kind of like analyzed it all. And it was a very cool thing to learn from. And again, just as we've talked about, the failure was almost like more, not the failure, that was a really strong word. The challenges and differences that came up was almost more valuable than if it had just gone perfectly and the same as it had been going, these other two things. And so Lizzie gave me this amazing analogy that she's going to tell you about right now.
Well, it can feel frustrating when you feel like you've learned something. You're like, okay, I've got this. You know,
yeah, I'm a pro.
I may even go so far as to say I've mastered this thing. So you were feeling really confident about different circumstances, holidays, travel, vacation, whatever. You're like, I think I've got this. And then along comes something that you think you've got and it throws you a curveball. Mm-hmm. And it can feel like backsliding. Like I have completely regressed. I thought I had this and now I have to learn it all over again. And my tweak on that is like, no, it's almost like you went to like vacations 101 And you learned that lesson. And then, like, you're like, okay, I got this. And then you kind of took summer break. And then you went, now you came back for vacations too at level 202, like your next class in the semester. And, the very first couple of weeks of the next semester, you're reviewing what you did last year. And so it's not that you have forgotten everything and you're having to learn it over again. It's that you are facing the same challenge in a different way. And so it is, it's like leveling up, like in a video game. You go through level one and you handle all the bad guys and so forth, and then you get to level two. Now the challenges are a little bit more challenging, but most of the bad guys look pretty similar. And so it's, instead of feeling like I have regressed, I have forgotten this thing, or like, why am I so stupid? I can't remember how to do this thing. It's more like, no, this is a great thing. This is not a sign of me stepping backwards. This is a sign of growth. I am now just facing the next level of this challenge.
Yes, and I'm still awesome at whatever challenges come up in level one. And now I'm just learning level two. Yeah, that's been really helpful for me to just think about new challenges doesn't mean a setback, it means leveling up, really.
Put that on a bumper sticker. Love
Exactly. Done. Easy.
it.
So good.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we want to talk to about in that?
Well, you had mentioned that, like, when you got back from all of your vacations, but you were able to just get back on track. And while that is amazing, one thing that I like to tell my clients to think about is, instead of trying to get back on track, I suggest you try and think about getting back to normal,
Yes.
because being on track or off track suggests a diet, which by its very nature is temporary. Whereas if you think about, I want to get back to normal because normal is my normal healthy way of taking care of myself. Of course, unusual things happen, vacation, whatever, but I can always just get back to normal. So
Yes.
how you
I love
define
that.
normal is a big deal.
Getting back to normal. And that's another area I was pleased and impressed with myself of. Because my brain didn't go to such dramatic places during the vacations, it wasn't like I felt, even though my circumstances were different when I was on vacation, I felt my brain stayed pretty steady. And so as I get back, it's not this dramatic return to reality. It's just back to normal, back on track. But and again, not in a diet way, but just in a like, I just, okay, now I'm home. First I was gone and now I'm home and just keep going. It's just kind of like a keep going, you know, instead of okay, now I need to like lose all that weight and just that dramatic of make everything fix it all again, get it all back to better. Like I didn't have any of that. It just stayed so much steadier, the mind drama on my vacation, so that when I got home, it was just like, okay, and now we're home. Keep going. It was more like a keep going. That's yeah, that's back. That's the back to normal for me. It's just like, let's keep going. No drama. Very little drama. I'll never say no drama. There's always a little drama.
Brains do that,
Brains do that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to number 10. We're almost done. We've got three more.
All
Okay, number
right.
10. This was such a fun one because scarcity comes up a lot for me and for all of us, I'm sure. And I was just having a day where I was discouraged and feeling a little low. I think this wasn't even in a session. I think this might have just been over Marco Polo. And I think I was just venting to you a little bit about how it just feels like there's not enough of anything, not enough time, not enough me, not enough energy, not enough anything to accomplish all the things I'm trying to accomplish, you know. And you just replied to my Marco Polo with this really beautiful sunflower analogy that I want you to share with everybody.
Sure. So just like Jesse said, like, we all feel scarce or scarcity at various times of just, like, and that's a very sort of closed, shut down kind of feeling. And it narrows our capacity for optimism, for creativity, and so forth. And the analogy is, like, I like to think of, there is enough sunshine for all of the sunflowers in the field. Like, if I am a sunflower and there's a sunflower next to me receiving more sunshine takes away nothing from the sunflower next to me. And so I am allowed to open up and receive all of the sunshine, all of the abundance, and that helps me thrive, and it doesn't take away from anybody else or anything else. And so there's always enough. There's enough sunshine for all the sunflowers in the field. There's enough rain, as and that type of thing. And what was so beautiful after I share that with you, because it was Marco Poloing, and then, like, you're like, Lizzie, I have to show you what's outside my front door, which was so pretty.
Yeah, my property. In the summer, they're weeds, but I don't care. They're gorgeous. We get the weed sunflowers all over our property, and we had a particularly wet winter and spring, and so we had more than we've ever had in the whole time we lived in this house, just covered in sunflowers. And it was just such a beautiful analogy for offering me because every time I look out my window or leave my door or drive out and back and whatever, I'm just surrounded by sunflowers. And I was so reminded of the abundance of that analogy she offered, because it doesn't really matter what you're feeling scarcity about. We can feel it about anything.
Yeah.
Anything that can help you get to that more abundant place will serve you in whatever your endeavors are and whatever you're working on. So I was so, so grateful for that. And just such a timely moment for that to be the analogy, because I just had reminders all around me.
Yeah.
Really good.
So moving on to number 11, this is one that I think we get to a lot in life coaching, is kind of our identity and who we believe ourselves to be. And, you know, that's how, you know, surface level can change in our actions. Sort of medium level change can happen in our processes, but deep level change happens when you're able to change like how you see yourself.
Yes.
So Jesse, how did this come up for you?
Yes, really working to, and this all happens in the mind, but really working to change at the level of my identity has been critical in my journey, because it supports every decision I'm trying to make. We make a million little decisions all day long. And as soon as I can get my identity in line with the person I'm trying to be and really believing that, even though I'm not even all the way it yet or whatever, the yet is very important there. So a couple of ones that I've been practicing specifically are, as I've been working to take better care of my physical body, and this isn't even about weight loss, but I've been working to exercise more in an attempt to take better care of my physical body and have a better relationship with her and take really good care of her. I work on believing like I am a person who exercises regularly or daily, right? Like I'm a person who exercises easily, regularly, frequently, all of those words. And that has not been a part of my identity that was easy for me to believe in the past because of many different things, injuries with my knee and my back and pregnancies and morning sickness and all the things. I felt like I would just go months without exercising. And then I'd be like, okay, I need to like exercise. And it was always from a place of almost like desperation or guilt or shame of, if I were, you know, healthier or taking better care of my body, I'd be exercising more. And right now what I'm trying to do is just make it a part of my identity of like, as a way I take really good care of myself and prioritize me and my health and all the things, I'm a person who exercises regularly. That's just a part of who I am. And it makes it so easy to just step on that treadmill or that elliptical or go to the gym or go outside or ride a bike. It makes it so much easier because I am a person who exercises regularly. That's been a really powerful one. And then the other one that I'm working on that has been so, it's so fun to work on believing this one because my brain still hasn't quite given in, to, get, not given in, accepted it yet. But it's getting there. I see the progress in this one. I'm working on believing that I'm a person who can maintain a healthy weight for the rest of my life. And what I do, because this is what brains do, is I look back and I say, well, that one's a little hard to believe because my weight has been up and down and up and down and up and down for 20 years. So I don't have any past evidence necessarily to pull on that I can be a weight and just stay that weight for years and years and years and years. That's just I want to believe it. And so I spend a lot of time thinking it and working on having it be a part of my identity. And again, I am making improvements, but that is still one that my brain consistently will say, but we haven't done that much or yet in the past, you know, it just looks back and back. And I say, it's okay. Like that's who we're working on becoming, that person who can just learn how to take care of her body, be healthy, maintain that healthy weight, and not have these big weight fluctuations because of life and because of injuries and because of, you know, all those things. And I visualize some things in my future that really help me as I think about like what I will look like in the pictures at my children's weddings. You know, I have 6 kids, my oldest is 18, and you know, who knows when those weddings will occur, but I'm trying to think so future focused. And whenever if I can find something I can really grab onto, like at some point, you know, my children will marry, at least some of them, and I will be at those weddings and I will be in those pictures. And I want to imagine looking at that picture and thinking, I am a person who knows how to maintain a healthy weight and not fluctuate. I am excited to be that person.
Yeah. So there's two things I'd love to say about that. So with the exercise example, you have been leaning into, I am the kind of person who exercises daily. And when you're first adopting a new belief, a new identity, there inevitably are going to be times where your brain is like, no, I'm not. I mean, that doesn't feel true.
Yeah.
And so what I suggest to clients when that happens is to give yourself a range. I call it, you know, putting a goal on a spectrum. So if you wanted to walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes a day, that's great. Like that's your high end goal, but also give yourself wiggle room for life to not go as planned, for, you know, life rarely goes perfectly. And so give yourself a low-end goal where you can feel like, I still did something today that makes me,
Yes.
quote unquote, a daily exerciser. So that can be standing on the treadmill for a minute. That can be standing up and sitting down from your chair 5 times in a row. You know, anything that feels small and doable that you can do on the days when, you know, it just did not go the way you planned, that like you can have what you're striving for, but also a really easy, like I call it, like step over the broomstick on the floor as opposed to setting the bar really high. That way, your brain can still say, see, I am a daily exerciser. It just that was today, my exercise was standing up and sitting down 5 times. So give yourself that grace. And same thing with your goal for, I am the kind of person who maintains her weight long term. You can look for evidence of that. Like you are not necessarily yet at the weight you want to be, but you have evidence in this weight loss journey where you have maintained your weight successfully quite for several weeks in a row. And so you are practicing being that person. Not at the weight you eventually want to be, but you're practicing a level of that. And so you can find evidence of like, well, look, I do have evidence that I am the kind of person who can maintain her weight because I've been doing it.
I'm already being her.
Right. And then the last thing about that of like, let's say for the maintaining one, like I, you know, in the past, I've not been able to maintain my weight. And so my brain wants to be afraid or be worried of like, well, we've never been able to do this before.
What's going to be
And
different this time?
exactly. And the thought bouncing the ball back on the other end of the court that you can kind of respond back to your brain is be like, well, you know what? I have lots of evidence of things that I had never done until I did them. For example, you never walked until you
Until you
walked.
did.
You
Yes.
never tied your shoes until you did. You know, you probably failed a bunch of times, but then you did. You never rode a bike. You never graduated from school. You never got married. You never had children until you did. And that's an example of like you have lots of evidence that you can do something for the first time. And maintaining your weight is one of those things too, that like you don't have evidence yet, but you have lots of evidence that you can do things for the first time.
Yes, that's so good. I think another reason why I really enjoy thinking about this future one is I like to find ways to pull back and look at the bigger picture of what my goals are, because it can be very easy to say, to kind of get trapped in that. Well, I'm trying to lose weight right now. I just want to lose weight, and like just be too focused on that, because then when you lose the weight, you still there you are, like you're still just you there, just with a different number on the scale. And then you might be in a place of like, well, now what? Now, and so instead I like to say, like, yeah, this is the part of my journey where I'm really working on losing weight, but the whole book, the big part of this series or whatever is me connecting to myself, knowing myself better, taking better care of my body, learning how to be steady and making my norm, making my new normal, and maintaining that weight, and being a person who stays fit and stays healthy and prioritizes that, on the big picture. And the weight loss is just like the first part of that. It's not even the whole story. So I really like that one.
So bring us home, Jesse. What's point number 12?
Okay, we save this one for the end because it's such a fun one. And I think just one we all need reminding of. So one day, Lizzie and I were working on, I'm trying to remember, I don't know, it doesn't matter what we were working on, but we were working on something awesome. And she just pulled me in and said, I think we were doing a sports analogy to help illustrate whatever we were working on. And she said, "You are the asset." And I was like, "I am. I'm the asset." Like we were talking about the way an athlete would invest their time and their money and their health and the clothes they would wear and the equipment they would use, and the it would never be like, is it worth it to invest in myself? Because they're the asset. And I was like, I'm the asset, like not at the professional athlete way, but in the that's how much I value myself and my body and my health and my like that's the level I want to make myself a priority. And that can feel scary to us at times, because I think we worry if we make ourselves a top priority that it diminishes something else. But going back to the sunflowers and the abundance of like, I only improve my life and my relationships and everything by making myself the asset and by making myself the priority and by being willing to invest my time and my energy and my money and my effort and my all the things into me, the asset, which just sets me up so beautifully to live the life I'm seeking to live, which is where all the other parts of my life come into play with, my family and my business and my relationships and everything that are also so important to me. But making myself the asset and the priority in no way diminishes them, and in fact enhances all of that. So good.
Yeah, I think we were, it was like we were talking about Serena Williams. Like, we would never judge Serena Williams for having a tennis coach and a nutrition coach and a mindset coach and a weightlifting coach or whatever. You know, like, of course she would. She's invest in herself so that she can be her best. And like, we would never judge her for that, but we judge ourselves when we're like, well, I mean, I need to, you know, I can't take time away from going to my kid's thing in order to go work out or, you know, get a massage or whatever. And it's like, you know, you when you shift and you allow yourself to realize that you are important, you don't take away from, it's not me or them, it's me and them. And I am making myself better so that I can be better for them.
It's just such a powerful reminder, and it's so empowering
Yeah.
to put yourself at that level and that priority space, and to call yourself on it when you catch yourself thinking, well, I don't have time to blank, whatever it is, you know. And yeah, that one's been really helpful for me as I've continually focused on myself, which can be, it can be uncomfortable if you are
Yeah.
kind of stuck in that space of, when I focus on myself, it costs in other areas of my life, or costs other people. And here I have been focusing on myself for a year. So that is our, those are our 12 takeaways. I have a few final thoughts. Do you have anything else you want to share? And then I'll wrap us up. Just kind
I'm
of
just so grateful
closing
that,
thoughts.
yeah, I'm so grateful for the journey we've gotten to be on. And just as you said before, you know, as the coach, you know, I grow as well. And so you have added so much to me and to my life. So I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Lizzie. Well, and I have told Lizzie many times, we're not done.
Yeah.
Wait till we record this episode next year, because I want to
Yeah.
take over the whole world. And I'm just
Yep.
getting, I feel like I'm going to talk about this here in a second, but I feel like I'm just almost getting back to like normal. And now I want to like do amazing things. I've done amazing things already this year, but I think I've taken myself, I don't know what the right words are, but it almost feels like just below normal, back up to that kind of normal. And now I want to like keep going. So anyway, so good. So the way, I just was recently having dinner with a friend who doesn't, I don't talk with very frequently. So she didn't even know I was working with a life coach, and she's not very familiar with the life coaching world. So I was really explaining to her what it's been like to work with a life coach week over week for this long of time, in very like layman's terms. And just getting really to the core of it, to the, you know, not just a very simple version of it, so that it would make sense to her. And the way I was able to sum it up for her, what this past year has been like, is basically just a journey of reconnecting to myself. And that's really what it's been like. So because of a lot of them relatively small, some bigger, but a lot of experiences that have happened over the last, you know, life, adulthood, 15, 20 years, it has felt necessary to me to cope with some of those experiences in certain ways. And then, without even realizing it, kind of just kept doing that. And some of those coping mechanisms would disconnect me from myself in order to get through that hard thing, or to survive that deployment, or to, you know, heal from that injury. And then, without realizing it, I kind of would stay in those coping spaces, even though my life and my body had moved on from some of those, you know, survival mode moments, or you know, really challenging experiences and times. And when I started working with Lizzie, basically all I knew was that I didn't like how much I weighed. But what I didn't know, and what we were quickly able to discover, was that there were a lot of areas of my life where I had a lot of pain and sadness. And that was confusing to me at first, because I'm a really like positive, optimistic person, and I also felt very self-aware. And so I do want to add here that it wasn't that I was completely disconnected from myself. I was connected to myself in a lot of ways, in a lot of areas. That's important to know. But I had some sneaky sadness and pain going on that I had disconnected from. And so I honestly like did not know that I was sad at that level. But in order to continue to stay disconnected from those things, I had to use things like food to continue that disconnection. And I was unaware that I was doing all of that. What I did know was that I didn't eat late at night. So why do I weigh this much, you know? And so, as we very lovingly and very slowly and very carefully just started poking around and peeling back layers, and my pain came forth and my sadness came forth. And that it has all been so amazing and beautiful and healing and also rough and hard and a little tiring at times. I know sometimes I would get on with Lizzie and say, like, I cannot look inside again. Like, just, it's almost like a vulnerability hangover of just like week after week, we're just opening up a new thing, you know. And I don't want it to sound like that, because there were lots of times where it was very energizing and very exciting. And then the times that were a little more painful and exhausting were also just so critical and productive and beautiful. And each piece, it's, you know, like doing a 100,000 piece puzzle, whatever, we're putting in another piece and another piece, whatever analogy you want to use, has just built this beautiful image that we've created over this last year of me paying attention to myself and me unblocking those areas where I had disconnected, and me being willing and feeling safe inside of myself to take a look at those things and to begin to heal from them and to begin to work on them and to make all that beautiful, sweet, subtle, and apparent progress. And the, all along the way, developing skills where it's getting easier and easier. And there's still times where I'm like, okay, I think a couple months ago, I was like, okay, I'm ready to look at this thing that has been on my mind, but I have not been ready to talk about it or look at it. And she's like, okay, let's go, buckle up, you know, and then we just crack it open and see what happens. And then I'll be like, okay, let's wait a couple weeks and then we'll talk about that again or whatever. And we just have these different things that we just keep revisiting and working on and getting to level one and level two and level three and keep working through and working through. And it's been amazing. It's been amazing. And the last thing I want to say about that is just that in the reconnection to myself, I think that one thing I've really noticed is that in areas that I'm disconnected to myself, there's a ton of judgment and a ton of resistance. And in areas where I'm already connected to myself, I was easily forgiving myself and being kind and understanding. But as I've reconnected, even in those areas, that judgment has been replaced by more compassion and more understanding and more of that love for myself, which has removed so much of the pain and sadness and just given me a ton of safety and space to then say, now what? Now what do I want to do and think and believe and work on and move forward doing? And that's the magic. That's the work. Because the reason I really wanted to share that is because a lot of times people will say, well, I don't even know what I would talk about if I was working with a coach week over week. I don't even feel like I have anything I need to work on. And I want to say, like, coming from a person who felt very self-aware and very happy and very complete and whole, I have found so many beautiful things to work on. I don't want to say like I was broken and I didn't know it. We all have human brains full of amazing, yeah, intricate processes that it can be so beneficial if you're willing to take a look at them, especially with another person who can help you see it in a way that it's really hard to see when you're inside yourself. And so if you are considering giving life coaching a try, I want you to know that you will find things to talk about, and it's all beautiful and all beneficial. And I like literally feel like a different person after a year of looking inside week after week after week. It has been beautiful. So, so beautiful and so worth it. And I'm excited for the next year.
Yeah. And if I just may add, you know, I think that there's a saying that says you can't read the label when you're inside the jar.
Yes.
And we're all inside the jar of ourselves. And that's why any good coach worth their salt has a coach. I have a coach. Jesse has a coach, because we know we all have human brains, and it's hard to walk this journey of self-introspection and examining that judgment and bringing compassion to those painful areas. It's hard to do that on your own. And so it helps to have somebody, you know, hold your hand along the way.
Yeah.
And so everybody needs a coach.
Everybody. Coaches need coaches. Everybody needs a coach. Oh, anyway, what a beautiful thing. And it's been so fun to put this all together with you and now share it with all our people. This episode will be on my podcast as well as Lizzie's podcast, the Confident Body Podcast. So I will link to all of that in the show notes. And I think that is what we have for you today.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Well, there you have it. Thank you so much for listening today to my conversation with Jesse. It was so, so much fun to recap and talk with her about her lessons learned. If you're ever interested in coaching, you can contact Jesse through her website called simplyresilient.net. She coaches military spouses, but she also is an amazing life coach in general and an amazing human. And if you're ever interested in working with me on weight loss coaching, I work through the No BS weight loss coaching platform through Corinne Crabtree. And that also is an amazing way to focus on your goals and help you show up and feel as amazing as you want to. But anyway, I just wanted to share with you what it was like to reflect on a year of coaching with my good friend and client, Jessie. And I hope you've enjoyed it. And remember, love yourself, because you are worth taking care of you. All right, that's what I got for you this week. I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening today. Seriously, I know it's not a small thing, and I genuinely appreciate it, and I hope it helped you. Make sure you head on over to confidentbody.coach/tips and sign up for my 7 top tips for little shifts that create big results so that you can start feeling confident in your body right now. I will see you next week. And until then, remember, you are a miracle.